Captain's log, stardate 2007-0826.5. While on a routine patrol of the Eve Quadrant, my science officer, Urban Mongrel, has detected a member of the Virgin Worlds podcast collective, known as Warp Drive Active. This will be our 8th encounter with this species. Mr. Mongrel assures me this will be a most profitable endeavor. Sometimes, I wonder if having a Ferengi as a science officer was a good idea after all.
Hello, 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 welcome to Warp Drive Active Podcast. Surprisingly, we've now got 3 episodes out in 2009. Wow. Anyway, I'm Urban Mongrel, and I'm joined by the man who has gone to see Star Trek in cinemas 4 times now, Mr. Winterblink.
Thank you. Yes, before anyone out there assumes that I'm some sort of massive Star Trek nerd, by that, it's basically... Every single one of my friends has been like, "Ooh, I want to go see Star Trek," but they've all done it sort of separately, right? Because of schedules. So, yeah, 4 times, dude. This time was my brother. He's in town visiting with his family and stuff, so he needed a break from the 4-year-olds and like the 1.5-year-olds thing going on at my parents' place. So I decided to take him out, and he wanted to see Star Trek, so might as well do it. It's good, 4th time.
I don't know. It wasn't that great, to be honest. I mean...
right. Your sense of taste is just completely out the lunch today, I think.
What do you mean today? No, I mean, it wasn't that... It was better than, like, Terminator Salvation, which is the other film I've seen recently.
Way to set the low bar. Oh, my God. But yes... Honestly, I thought they did an excellent job on Star Trek, and seeing it for the 4th time, it's still good, which was impressive to me because most movies get stale after, like in the theaters, at least if you're going multiple times. This one actually held up quite well.
Kirk gets his ass kicked a lot, though.
He does, he also makes out with women a lot.
Yeah, the new Uhura though, she's really hot.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, we're back doing podcasts again. Regularly, semi. We didn't do one last week for whatever reason. I don't know what
that was your fault.
Was it my fault?
Yeah. This was like, let's do a show. And it's like, no, work's too busy. Talk to me at the weekend.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you had shit going on last week again with your move and all that business. You wanted to do it early, and I couldn't because of work because I was pulling in, like, a ridiculous amount of overtime. But, yeah, so, sorry, but anyway... We're back.
Yeah.
This is, at least we're not counting the time periods between podcasts in terms of months. So this is
in terms
thing.
Of geological time.
how many moons have passed since the last podcast? But yeah, so we're here July 25th on a Saturday. It is hot here. It is, I mean, this is like, I think 31 plus, I think is what we're getting today. That's Celsius for all you imperialistic freaks out there. Yeah, it's pretty warm. We just suddenly spiked up from like 25-ish around there all the way up to 30 plus. No, seriously, I mean, like, there's people who are just all friends on my Facebook are just like, oh my God, we're all sweating buckets. Anyway, it's crazy. This is a pretty interesting little spike in heat for us. But anyway.
Yeah.
I got my yard work done, so I'm happy. And it's Saturday, and we're recording a podcast.
Yeah, and I would like to apologize for disappearing at the end of the last show, because I think you added a little bit at the end, because there was a power cut. That's right, I stopped work for 2 weeks in the, you know, the power industry, and there's a power cut. I mean...
So is that a little present you left them as part of your I'm leaving kind of thing?
It's like a little, no, but I did...
Break for somebody.
I did discover what happened, which was a transformer... belonging to National Grid blew up. I literally blew up. So, yeah, that's probably
now, we're talking like a normal explosion or like a Jerry Bruckheimer explosion, which was like massive fireball, like throwing shrapnel everywhere, cars just flying through the air, or was it just like a and the Transformer's gone?
I don't know. But what I do know is all around these other Transformers of this particular type, and these are big 400 kV Transformers, people are building like little blast walls out of shipping containers and things. Just in case it happens again. Because I think they're trying to work out why it blew up, and they're not that sure yet. But, you know, this is all second-hand information, so don't take it as gospel, what I'm saying. And
it's a little overkill, don't you think? It's like, oh my god, the Transformer blew up. We've got to armor plate all the other ones to make sure we don't get hurt. Isn't that like, you know, suddenly, I don't know, some beats up his wife, so now all married men have to wear boxing gloves or something? I don't know. That just seems like a silly thing, dude.
That is the most stupid analogy I've ever heard.
It's Saturday. I don't care. To be honest, I had a late night last night, alright? So cut me some slack.
So did I. But, you know, it's earlier in the day for you, so... If I'd have done this about lunchtime today, it wouldn't have been good.
Yeah. I am hair of the dogging it right now. But, yeah, no, last night, again, subsequent to the Star Trek time, you know, round four for me, we went out to a friend of mine's place who was doing probably the most hilarious little party that he does every year. He calls it the girly drink party, right? So the theory here is that you break up into teams of two, three, four around there, and then you plan out what kind of drink you're going to bring and make for everybody there. So it's all girly drinks, so you can't bring some kind of manly type of thing, right? It's got to be, like, fruity and silly and all that stuff. It's just, and everyone kind of votes on who did the tastiest drink. The obvious issue there is that with a large group, and every year it's been getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you're mixing alcohol, right? A lot.
Yes.
Like, and that's bad. So every year it just gets worse and worse, because now we're up to like 20-some people, and it's usually like they break out into teams of two or three. So, yeah, it does get kind of painful by the end of the night. And I think the brain mouth circuitry here this morning is a little bit on the slow side, so you have to forgive me for that. But it was really good, and I was, even though I was driving, though I it was just a late night, so I didn't really drink all that much. But of course, because I'm a responsible individual, I know my limits. Still, we got in pretty late, so it was a fun time, though, man.
Well, yeah. Thankfully for me, it's the my new co-workers. They're having a big night out, and I joined them. A couple of guys' birthdays and stuff, and so it was a lot of fun. But yes, it was mixing drinks, because it was like every round was a pint and a shot, so that starts to get you down.
Oh god.
So yeah.
So a shot of what though?
Sambuca, tequila, things like that.
Not bad.
It was pretty bad. Oh, they add up. They add up to being really bad.
Oh yeah, they do. But are you a tequila guy? Because a lot of people don't like tequila, and I like it actually. I don't know. But everyone does the whole like, you know, lime and salt business with tequila. I'm like, just drink it.
I don't really. Yeah, it's a bit poncy. That. I mean, I really like, you know, margaritas and stuff. Girly drink, I know, but still really good.
Tasty.
Yeah.
So, I think you could classify Long Island iced tea as a girly drink too, but it tastes like iced tea.
Well,
it's totally not made with anything that's even remotely iced tea-ish.
Well, the idea was, in Prohibition, it looked like iced tea, so you could go around drinking it with no suspicion.
Was that the history of that?
That's how it was invented, yeah, and why it got its name. It's because it was like, you know, this drink, so you'd order an iced tea, and this drink, you know, because it looks like iced tea in a glass.
Right.
And presumably the police officer had no sense of smell or anything, or didn't know if she's staggering around after a few of them.
Anyway.
Anyway, yeah, so we're both hungover. I think that's the point we want to make here.
Not really hungover for me, just more tired than anything else, but that's okay. I'm waking up. I got my lawn work done, like I said this morning. I'm waking up pretty well, so... but yeah, so other than that... Your week's been okay. You did some moving stuff.
Yeah, moved into my new place, which is very nice. You've seen the photos on Facebook.
Yeah, that pink sofa you have is really fetching.
Okay, it's not my sofa, it's my landlord's sofa. And it's sort of pinky, light browny type color.
It's pink. It's pink, unless your camera has like the worst white balance ever, it's pink.
Well, it's just a camera on the iPhone, so it is crap. But yeah.
Still, take some different reference, dude.
But yeah, it's not my sofa though. It came with the place.
like it's gonna seriously limit like your scoring possibilities here. You bring a girl home and sit her down on your pink sofa. Just think it's not cool. Get a new sofa. How do you not have your own sofa?
Like, because I am just renting a room in a, like, a shared flat. That's why. I don't... I probably will get my own place soon, now I'm actually being paid a sensible amount. But, yeah, I've never been in the kind of financial league where you could even consider buying my own place. And it's very hard to get a mortgage in this country right now, unless you've got, like, you know, 25% already saved as a deposit or so. But yeah, so yeah, started the new job on Monday, so there's just been yeah, as you'd expect, a whole load of stuff to get used to and a load of training courses and stuff. So yes,
it's going good though.
Yeah, it's going good. I mean, they haven't sacked me yet, which is, you know, it's excellent. But yeah,
that's a plus.
I mean, you know, it's nice people, it's interesting work, and yeah, I'm so far so good, really enjoying it, and I haven't tripped the station yet.
Yeah, well, yet.
yes. I'm not in the Gigawatt Club.
Okay.
The Gigawatt Club is a bad club.
Is that like the Mile High Club, except it's when you have sex on top of a Transformer?
It's a really, really bad place to get horny, that would be. But no, it's if you manage... It's a bad club to be in, but if you manage to trip more than a gigawatt, which is more than just one unit, is pretty much an entire station with a lot of them... You know, the entire station gives out 1.4 gigawatts, so you've got to trip everything. Yeah, that's, so it's a bad club to be in, but I do know some people who are in it.
Nice.
And yeah, for other things, yes, we don't have many spare gigawatts around in this country, so somebody has a power cut if that happens. But anyway, I digress. New job's very good, enjoying it, going very well. Anyway, we are now a long way in and haven't even mentioned Eve.
Yeah, we have. We mentioned it way at the beginning. But now we're going to talk about it.
Oh, right, are we? In in-game news.
Sure. Yeah, there you go. In-game news, dude.
You are so, so hungover.
No, man, I'm totally okay, man. Totally.
First bit of news is Pandemic Legion have done standings reset. Seamus Azorza, who's... from Sniggardly, he's a really good Tempest pilot, I believe, has just said this. So, yeah, if your name's not Sansa Tangra or Pandemic Legion or a paying customer in Fountain, you're going to get shot by PL. Aren't you at war with them?
With who?
Pandemic Legion.
No.
All right.
Lords of Warfare. Currently Lords of Warfare and Black Dawn Gang. I don't know.
What are you talking about?
That's I'm just looking in the game to see who we're actually.
Oh, right, okay.
Because you asked me the question, so I'm answering your question.
Well, no, but those are like official wars. But you're.
Oh!
You know,
you're talking like, oh, if we see them, we pop them in the face? Probably.
Yeah. Well, you're still in Curse, aren't you? You AAA and BBCI guys.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, so you're quite away from Pandemic Legion over there in Fountain.
Yeah, it's they're not common occurrences.
That will.
We don't get their spawning here very often. That's it's a rare spawn. No, yeah. So okay. Well.
So how are things going for you know your Russian overlords?
As far as I know, fine. I mean, again, me, I'm sitting at a pause still. this is me and my best of myself personally, playing around in head whenever I can get a chance. But yeah, as far as I know, we're just kind of not really stand-downers, just kind of general, you know, let's make some money kind of mode. And of course, there's still, of course, all the people who just go around killing people still, no matter what kind of mode we're in. But yeah, it's just it's really nothing really official big that kind of is going on right now.
No, right, so nothing much.
I wish I had more to say on that, but I just don't. It's not much really kind of officially going on.
How are you doing with craft work? Are they just people you shoot?
Meh. I have not personally shot any of them.
But yes, we saw your kill board. You haven't shot anybody for a while.
Yeah, I know. I've been bad. Get back into that. But,
by you know, some theory, you could be good.
No. No, I don't think that's correct. Again,
Blinky, the friendliest guy in 00.
You should come to head. Play.
I've been playing.
You're right now. I'm opening the pause right now.
Yeah, because given how well the connection's working right now, you really want to put more load on my internet and computer right now. But to be honest, this is going to be a little bit more sorted, because I have ordered a new laptop for myself, so I will be able to two-box. But yes, it hasn't arrived yet, because it's Dell and it takes ages. I mean, they're cheap, they're nice when they get here, and then, you know, they're like the customizableness, but they do have their problems, Dells as well.
My laptop's a Dell. My main PC, though, I built, but I don't, for the most part, for like a laptop, it's like, you know, they got some pretty good deals here.
Any trouble is it's going to be running Vista, because you can't get anything else yet. I'm just in that gap before Windows 7 comes along and, in theory, rescues us. But
well, you can replace the operating system on your own laptop.
Yes, I know. And they will upgrade it to Windows 7 when that's released, but I'm not sure whether I want to rush into that, given that most Windows software sucks for at least the first 6 months.
Yeah. But anyway, let's not talk about
Windows. Okay, let's talk about Eve.
Yes, let's do that.
Looking at, again, kind of in this area, sort of south easty type area. Yep, you've got these guys called Quarantine Zone in Innsmouth. Do you know them?
No, Quarantine Zone.
Maybe they've all got swine flu.
Oh god! Yes, H1N1. God. Yeah, no, I have no idea who these guys are. It's like the new guys are popping up, eh? Is this like a new round of alliances showing up? It seems to be.
I mean, they've taken a big chunk of what was Scorched Earth / Atlas territory, which seems to be pretty good. And also into AAA territory, the Initiative have taken some of your space in Immersion. Immensia. What am I doing? I'm going to read you in the seal.
What? I'm sitting there thinking, what region is that? Did they just put new ones in 2 weeks and we didn't know about it?
Arg. You know what I mean. Even if I don't. Yes. God, I am still hungover, actually. But yeah.
Jesus, man. Yeah, they seem to be kind of pulling in there in that sort of northeasty-ish area of our territory. I'll have to do a little bit of research in there and find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Looking down in the south, that's all pretty stable. Over in, you know, sort of Paragon Soul and stuff. Period basis as well. Aquarius is just, you know, just custard goons, if you remember last week.
Yes, you and your custard. No, you know, that stuff doesn't really seem to be changing much at all, obviously.
No, that's waiting for the next big thing to happen, I guess. I mean, looking up into the Germinate, Wildly Inappropriate seem to be doing fairly nicely. The initiative have been kicked. Had they asked?
Yeah. I was about to mention. It's interesting. They kind of vacated there, and now they're coming down south. So,
Are they doing a franchise? Because they got another bit.
Maybe. Well, it could be just a plain move. I mean, for all we know, right? It's like, we'll just leave this territory and go hang out with AAA.
Yeah, we don't like this bit. It's that space smells around there.
Exactly. So, but I mean, the other thing that's going on there, I mean, if you look in the east, it's like, you know, what's Legion of Death? Mm. Damn.
Yeah, they are kicking ass and taking names.
Kicking ass or some kind of territorial swap? I mean, who knows? It's maybe the XXs are just, I don't know, shifting positions?
Well, I mean, what's happened is Eternal Dawn and Intrepid Crossings are out of there. They have been kicked out of Ethereum Reach. So it's Legion of Death XXXXXXXXXX, Red Alliance as well. And who is this Varagans? Who are they? Varagans.
are Varangians, dude? Varangians?
I don't know.
God. I'm probably saying it better than you are, but I think we're both murdering it. But anyway, yeah, they seem to be kind of popping up in a couple little spots.
They do.
Friends, perhaps?
A franchise?
Friends of somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, they, you know, these various Red spin-off things are really are consolidating their hold on sort of the East and the Northeast, really. So, doing quite nicely by the look of it. CCP Engineering Alliance hasn't moved. What a surprise there.
Well, you know, they just, yeah, nothing much is going to happen there.
No, just in case anybody knows, this is out in Jove space, so you can't get there.
Yeah.
So, there's presumably something they do to try things out where it can't affect
them. If that, yeah, if that does change, it will be news.
Yeah. But, well, you could have gotten, you could have done this, because we have both been into Joe's space as part of the tournaments when we're watching, haven't we? Because they do it in Joe's space. Yeah?
But, yeah, but the the first thing they do, other than to check that they're pulling in the person with the right name, is to make sure that you don't have some kind of
Sino.
Anything that can help you, like, pop a Sino off and bring somebody in. I mean, it's kind of standard.
I know, but you should have at least tried.
I always make the joke at the time, but it's like, yeah, it's,
Yes, I know. And anyway, if you've got nice access, you don't really want to lose it, and I've just got cramp in my leg. Ow. Ow.
Okay, well, Urban is getting old.
Yes.
Today. So,
I get cramp and just setting up my computer.
Probably because you've been doing something similar to that all week long.
No way. You got to do a lot of walking around site, and I've been for a bike ride today. But yeah, just now it's decided to kick me. So thank you.
In case anyone hasn't noticed, Urban's sorely out of shape. I'm sitting and my leg's cramping. Like, that's not good, man.
Oh, come on, back to work. Be professional.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. Razor, wildly appropriate circle of two up in the north, haven't really changed. Nor has Moore's Mihi. Although this new alliance just in the north where the initiative was Atropos? That's Ifni's dev name, but I don't think that's his alliance. Somehow.
Is he allowed as a dev to have his own alliance?
Well, CCP Engineering do.
But, you know,
I don't think it's different. Him. But yeah, apparently it's a Greek goddess who controls life and death or something, based on the, as I said, we mentioned this in the last show, the interview he did in Eon. And, yeah. And,
which I still haven't gotten, by the way. My latest edition of Eon.
Go whine at Richie.
Yeah, later.
He's got other things on his mind right now.
Yeah, the end of his bachelor life.
Well, congratulations, sir.
Definitely.
Anyway.
For those who have no idea what we're talking about, Zapatero, the fellow who... what does he actually do for Eon? He basically throws it all together, but he's not really an editor.
Well, no, he is the editor, but he's also the lead writer for it.
Right, so he's got like a... Anyway, he's the dude that kind of makes Eon work. And he provides a lot of content, does a lot of, you know, coordinating with people to get stuff in there. Awesome guy, gets really swamped whenever the hell Eon stuff gets thrown together. But, yeah, so he's engaged, which is good. I think we talked about this like a while back. But, yeah, for those who didn't check that one out, yeah, he's engaged. So we both know him because we met him through FanFest, etc. But it's cool.
Yeah, congratulations.
So if anyone's, curious about who he's engaged to, he's engaged to Celine.
And they make a lovely couple, don't they?
They do.
Oh.
Getting married in San Francisco, it's going to be cute. I'm kidding, of course. The identity of who he's being engaged to is...
That's like two... Celine. That's why you never receive your copies of Eon.
Probably. That and all the, like, really silly links I end up MSNing them all the time. But...
And all the sites you write on his Facebook.
That is hilarious. I love messing with Richie Spaceball.
And everybody else is. And it's like, you know, it is a wonder you haven't been permabanned from Facebook.
I don't think it's possible to actually get permabanned from Facebook unless you're, like, fully out spamming.
You are fully out spamming the whole time.
But I'm not selling you a product. I'm just commenting on your pictures. Yeah. You got your pink sofa.
Yeah.
Have you deleted that comment? Because...
I only delete picture tags, which you put in.
Why? Those are the best, dude. You're missing out. I'm going to tag one right now.
I'm going to delete it in a minute. But anyway...
I'll just keep tagging.
Yeah. Anyway, while he's tagging away, we've talked about Pandemic Legion, Sons of Tangra and stuff. And what's going on over in Fountain.
Yes.
So, I'd say relatively quiet week in terms of the Alliance stuff. Alliance called Voodoo Technology gained a system. I don't know where they are. So somewhere in Outer Passage, apparently. I like that name.
Hmm.
I don't know who you are, that but I like bad. Your name.
There, I've tagged a photo on your Facebook.
Yeah. Well.
Dude, next time you take pictures of things that are framed, wear a shirt. Christ's sakes. For those who don't know, Urban here has a picture on his Facebook of him taking a picture of... he's taking a picture of some kind of framed print of from Eve, like one of those things you can get from the store, but it's all signed by homeless people. So, the thing is, it's a glass-framed thing, and you can clearly see, because he's, you know, there's a light on in the room, that he's wearing no shirt. And it's like, it's... I don't know, dude.
Don't pretend you don't like it. And it's actually signed by CCP, who I do believe do have homes. So...
Are you sure? That's Chris Warner read, like, thanks for the quarter or something in there.
Yeah, they don't tend to give you pictures, homeless people, if you give them a quarter. They've got other things
all
to
you're
spend.
Asking for is signatures,
they've got
though.
Other things to spend it on.
But all you're asking for is signatures, really, so... If I give you a quarter, will you sign this?
God.
Anyway.
You haven't got one of those, you only got a postcard. I got a full poster. And you had to crash your car to get that.
Well, someone crashed into me, so... It's not a planned thing, by any means.
You don't have a lot of luck with cars, do you?
Yeah, as much as anybody else. It's really just people with cell phones in their car that piss me off, thanks to that one.
Oh, that's completely illegal here. You cannot use a phone while driving.
God, I wish. Anyway, regarding Alliance news, just something I wanted to mention, because caught a bit of feedback from people on this. Just the odd person who might live in a particular area of Eve, and if like we don't necessarily are able, like we're not physically capable of actually like paying attention to every single corner of Eve. So if you do have something that you want to mention, some kind of interesting kind of thing that you want to actually have reported on the podcast or something, or you think we missed something or a correction, but by all means let us know. I mean, emailing us is one way of doing it. We do have an email, podcast@winterblink.com. You can, you know, easily toss us notes on that if you do want to have like whatever is going on in your area set on the news in case we miss it, because, you know, we have jobs.
Yeah. In further Eve news, eBank, who we did mention the scam in the last episode, have sorted out their procedures in, you know, an effort to try and regain trust and make sure the Rictic thing doesn't happen all over again.
So what's this all about?
It's just a load of procedures, so, you know, deposits and stuff are handled through the corporation itself rather than an individual. So if they detect anything dodgy going on, they can just instantly lock out that person. But it doesn't... Again, you still need to trust somebody to have the money and not just to transfer it to their character. So I don't really feel it's
seriously.
That much safer here.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, how... No. This is an added layer of maybe administrative stuff, but eventually one person is going to be able to drain it dry if... They possibly wanted to, God forbid.
Yeah, this is an interview we got off Eve Tribune, by the way, so, you know, don't think I went and talked to Hex himself, we're just recycling this, but you can check it out, we will put links in the show notes, and I will give you the link now. Again, you know, I mean, that's obviously putting a brave face on this, but I still wouldn't trust them with my hard-earned ISKIs.
No, that probably wouldn't be the best option for you, really. I mean, again, you know my opinion on this. We talked about this last time. I'm not really that big and keen on player-made banks, unless there was some kind of game-oriented system around that, and there isn't. So, until that happens,
It's an interesting experiment that they exist, but this is bound to happen. So, mm-hmm. You know, just not good, but what can you do?
Yeah.
Let's think what else. Oh, Faction Warfare, something we haven't mentioned for a while. Kaldari beating Galente. Haha.
Yeah, is anyone playing that?
Well, I'm not playing it, but apparently some people are, just not Galente's by the look of it. What was it? Somebody from Bob tried to play it?
Oh, yeah, that was what we talked about. Yeah, we mentioned it last week. Where some elements of Bob were playing as Kaldari, and they were still losing.
Oops.
But, I mean, overall, yeah, I mean, this is perhaps something we could discuss at a different point, but I mean, yeah, the whole issue of factional warfare is something that I think really does need to be looked at in a serious way.
Well, you know, it was never meant to be a be-all and end-all. It was just something to get people to PvP.
No one's asking for it to be a be-all and end-all, though. They just want to have it to be interesting and have a point. Like, if you're going to participate in it, like...
I think point is the main thing, because, yeah, getting faction points is, you know, you think it might be a good thing you've done. It might be quite hard to do it, but you don't get any bloody faction points half the time, like, you know, helping defend systems and things.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, wasn't there, like, a dev blog that came out earlier? Yeah, I believe there was. I was looking for it here. Yeah, there was some stuff that was coming out of one of the dev blogs about War being a full-time job. Anyway, it was going into how some of the factional ships offers that you get will be quite reduced if you're basically a membership of a faction, or in the membership of the faction. So the idea is that by taking part, you have easier access to faction, you know, equipment, which just... That's not bad.
Mm. Yeah, it's not...
Like, I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying that's the end solution, but that's a nice thing.
It could be. It's a step forward. Know. I mean, I've only just seen this blog now, so.
I mean, does that make sense though? I mean, like, if you're taking part in a faction's, you know, overall combat, that you should have access to their equipment and ships more than the average person would if they're not a member of that faction, right? I mean, that's just the way I look at it. So, if they're going down that path, and this is kind of like a start, then great. Mm. In general, though, I mean, rewards are one thing, but just, I don't know, there seems to be just a lack of interest, and I don't know what it is, maybe just the actual mechanisms of how factional warfare play out, like with the whole control bunker things, I don't know.
It's kind of weird. Okay, a little post here in code from Onio Timo, from Goonfleet Goonswarm. Official message from Goonswarm on behalf of CEO Shrek Caton. Goonswarm is claiming its birthright to the regions of Scalding Pass, Wicked Creek, Deltoid, Tenderis, Tenerivis, I can't read, Tenerivis. I'm hungover, and Omist. We will take your moons and colonize the regions with our citizens. The space will henceforth be known as Goonswarm East. Right? All alliances have 24 hours to vacate, blah blah blah. Oh. See you on the battlefield.
Okay, so that was 3 days ago. And 24 hours obviously has passed since the time of that post. And,
no, nothing much has happened.
Yeah, nothing.
I mean, the space is owned by... AAA owns a large chunk of that. Scorched Earth has got that. Minor Threat. I mean, this was the place where Goonswarm first kicked off. This was, going back in the day, the LV territory, wasn't it? Way, way, way back in the early days. I'll say early days. It's a good 3 years ago, this now. And that's where Goons first took over. So, presumably, they're, like, missing it. They want to go back home. But, this could be the new big war in Eve, the one we were whining about last week. So, yeah, presumably, they listened and decided to do this.
Perumably?
Perumably, yes.
Awesome. Okay, cool. I mean, if they want to do it, then do it.
Well, you know...
Give it a try.
What will they do? Are they still going to keep the old Bob space they've now got? That's the other question.
Well, no. Because that would be... I mean, obviously they're not going to be able to do that because they weren't able to keep both areas of space before. So, unless there's some massive influx of, like, Goonswarm people, I don't think you're going to see too much happen in that way.
Well, yes, but in terms of just how rich the regions are, you know, Quirius is, you know, definitely, you know, very, very rich bits of space, and these bits aren't really as rich, you know? I don't think Bob financed itself for years and years and years and years. But, yeah. Oh,
exactly.
Now, don't get suspicious.
I'm just tinfoil hatting today. Some sort of what I'm doing. But yeah, no. But that's funny, and I mean, like the whole post about them wanting to take it over in 24 hours. I mean,
They won't take it over in 24 hours, but they presumably, you know, should be starting. They should at least be having some big fights, and I haven't really heard of any. So, yeah, I mean, we'll keep an eye on this, of course. We will keep an eye on this, but the map ain't changed yet.
Yes, I'll let Urban keep an eye on Goonswarm posting Goon code.
Wow, that looks
knock
so much fun,
out, man.
I can't wait. Yeah.
I'm so anyway, happy for that.
Moving on to...
Fail mails!
Okay. So we're back to normal style fail mails now.
Yes.
And look, I've managed to shut down the window with my one in. Great.
Great, so we're starting with mine then. Excellent.
Yeah. Take it away, sir.
Okay, so a little bit of background on this, okay? So I got... Okay, for one, it was kind of light on the fail mail content, guys, come on. But second... I don't think we've ever actually done a real fail mail so far on Tech 3. Like, I think we mentioned that when the first ones were lost, and it was more of a news item than anything else, but...
I think we even did that, actually, but anyway...
Probably, but I mean, like, it was... Like, this seems to be... someone submitted this to me, and I'm not an expert in fitting Kaldari ships, necessarily. Like, I know the general scheme of how it goes, but even less so, of course, for, you know, Tech 3 Kaldari ships, because... Obviously, the flexibility of fittings is quite...
Get on with it!
Okay, fine. Here's my fail mail. And it's really... I think we're just going to kind of look at this. Let's be a little experiment. See if there is actually a fail in this fail mail. So, what do we got here? Where is my fail mail? Look. There it is. So, this is Civic Unrest of Power Scene Enterprises. Loss of Tengu. Right.
Tengu.
What's that?
I'm going to call it that from now on.
Tengu?
Yeah, I'm going to call it a Pingu now until I forget, which will probably be about 5 minutes' time, but you know.
Right, no, it's okay, that doesn't make much sense at all. But anyway, he's got...
I don't know what Pingu is.
No.
It's a little, like, plasticine penguin kids' TV show. You never heard of this?
Anyway... On the ship, in this heist, sorry man, I have no idea what you're talking about. On the ship, in this heist slots, he's got 4 Arbalest heavy missile launchers.
Nice.
Kaldari Navy Scourge heavy missiles, and I believe all of them. And a covert ops cloaking device, too.
Okay,
not bad so far. To me, I think of this. He's got some Capri Charger. He's got a Capri Charger 2 in his mids, photon scattering fields, invulnerability field 2. Well, this is all Tech 2 stuff. ECM burst 2. And a small shield booster, which is probably the questionable point right there. But
yeah. Ages take ages to load, but anyway, you carry on.
And I'm thinking here is that he's looking for volley damage. But we'll get into that in a sec. Low slot, he's gonna wail on somebody once, twice, maybe, and that's it. He's hoping to not take damage at all. Hence the ECM burst. Low slot, ballistic control system 2. He's got like 3 of them. An internal force field array, so damage control. And then he's got particle dispersion projector 1s in his lows. So, in his rig slots, I should say. So, I mean, okay, brushing up on my rig stuff now. So this is for increasing optimal ranges of ECM.
But he's got very little ECM in here.
He's got an ECM. I think he's, like I said, I think he's really looking to not get hurt.
Yeah, he's got ECM burst 2.
Right.
So which he's, is, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, but you, boy, can you piss off the rest of your fleet if you use that at the wrong moment.
Yeah, so... yeah, because it's not, for those who don't know, I mean, it's not a targeted system at all, just like, it's a burst, right? Anything
it's within, just like a smart bomb of ECM.
But, yeah, it's exactly, that's a good way of putting it. So in this case, of course, I think the 2-1 is, what, 6k or 5k or something like that, anyway.
Yeah.
So he's just looking to keep whatever's close to him from touching him, and I don't think he was too successful in that, considering he came up against a Megatron and a Dominix, who put him down probably pretty fast.
You look at his effective hit points here. I mean, the Megatron did 4,900, and the Dominix did 8,300. So we're looking about your sort of damage taken just over 5,700 or near it.
I guess
not that much.
No, and maybe it's worth mentioning, of course, because these are Tech 3 ships that, of course, they have. Yes. There's more to it than just obviously the modules, right? So yes. There's the actual Tech 3 mods that are actually a part of the ship. He's got for engineering one. He's got the capacitor regeneration matrix, defensive adaptive shielding, electronics dissolution sequencer. I assume an ECM type of thing.
Yes.
Propulsion interdiction nullifier. Doesn't want to get locked down. Offensive covert reconfiguration. So he's probably, you know, I would assume, speed or some kind, or maybe some kind of weird lock time, you know, modifier. Not too much on the Tengu.
I think what was that last one again?
Covert reconfiguration.
I think that allows you to use the covert ox cloaking shield instead of the usual cloak.
All right, let me just look it up here.
But don't quote me.
As I take one quick boo at the market and find that it is... Yeah, so it's 5% bonus medium hybrid turret damage per level and 100% reduction in cloaking device CPU use. So yeah, it lets you fit covert op cloaks. So cool, nice call.
Yeah, because they are completely insane to try and fit otherwise.
Right, well, unless you're...
Unless it's for a ship which is specially designed for that with the bonus.
Yeah, so it's basically the module that turns your ship into a covert ops, for all intents and purposes. Yeah. At least from the standpoint of using a cloak. So, I mean... Okay, so can we actually pick this one apart? Because these are... You know, when they introduced the Tech 3 stuff, I always knew this was going to be a challenge for fail mails. Because, like, it's hard, right? Because they're so specialized. You know, probably the only way to fail at them in terms of fitting is going to be... You know, maybe just the fact that you went with a generalist fitting. Which just isn't really necessarily. He's kind of going... He's going for the whole...
It is a generalist fitting, though, and I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
I think you could make a far, far better tanking ship.
That's kind of where I'm getting at it. So he's kind of got a covert ops ECM shield tanker.
Yeah, but there's not that much ECM on that, you know.
Right.
You've got the missiles on that, which, you know, there's not that much when you're up against two battleships. Well, you're not going to have enough there.
Right, and that's kind of what I'm getting at in terms of, like, just the ship itself minus the fits. If you just take in the actual modules he's got on as part of the Tech 3 ship itself, without the actual fittings, it's a very general purpose
ship. He tried to be a jack of all trades here, and that is a sure way to die in EVE.
Yeah.
Even in a Tech 3 ship. Yeah, if he specialized, it would have been better.
If he specialized his actual configuration of the Tech 3 ship, and then the fitting itself went along with it, I think it probably would have been a lot more successful. Yeah. In whatever situation he was in. In this case, I mean, you're going against a Megathron. It's clearly a Blaster Thron, because he's getting whaled on by Ion Blasters for 5.8k worth of damage. And then, of course, the Dominix, which is probably neutralizing him. Who knows? It's got an unknown.
Probably got a few drones on there as well, I'd bet you.
Yeah, so... Which your ECM's not going to do much for. So, no. Interesting concept at least, but yeah, again, it's one of those things that
to use the ECM burst is you've got to get in really, really close.
Right.
I mean, you're saying 5 or 6k,
Which versus a dummy and a blaster thrown is probably not a good idea.
And you know, you don't have that much you don't have that much of a tank on this fitting, so you can't go toe to toe. You can, it's very viable to go toe to toe in a properly fitted up Tech 3 ship. Hmm. You know, you can get far more EHP than, you know, a battleship.
But I mean, in terms of, you know, who actually got him, it was probably the worst case scenario, because he's got a blaster thrown versus a Dominix, and both are going to be pretty close range heavy, because the Dominix, unless the Dominix doesn't have light drones, it's a little bit foolish, but he's going to be probably fitted up with neutralizers, which are close range, all that stuff. So, generally speaking, you know, ouch. Worst case scenario probably for that particular ship, and worse than that, the fitting's very much a general fitting, so...
But that's the thing. He if he specialized this, he could have had a completely, completely evil ECM boat. He could have had, you know, or he could have had, you know, much, much more range of it. I do like the idea of a Covert Ops cloak, though. I think that was a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that as an idea.
The interesting part about this whole thing also is the way the killboards parse it, because of course the ship loss is totally undervalued. It's like 18.4 million ISK. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's like, those damn prices have not come down at all, right? So, yeah.
We can multiply that by...
a lot.
Yeah, certainly 5, but also just more than that.
I'm thinking 50, but anyway, maybe I'm totally off.
Am I doing something really badly as well right now? Probably, yes. I am doing really badly, because I'm, 50.
Yeah, no, it's this is probably pretty nasty, so an ugly loss. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a tough ship. One of these things I would think that if you're interested in getting into Tech 3 stuff is probably to hit the test server and play around with it first before making the whole investment. Like, don't just go into e-fitting tool and whip up the ship in there and go, well, this looks like a good idea, because in, you know, as anyone who's been playing Eve long enough will tell you, that e-fitting tool is good if you know what you're doing. If you don't, I mean, it's good for the theory of it, but you know what happens in reality is totally different. So definitely see if you can get on the test server, and that should do you, I think.
Yep. Anyway, time for mine.
Alright, let's have yours.
Okay, paste that into your MSN. This is a Thanatos kill from PK... No, the victim was PK Wang, or Pekwang. I don't know. I got it from Raven Koran, thank you very much. Oh. It's not a terrible fit to start off with, but just... when I go through it, you'll start to understand why this is in the fail mail section. Kicking off, we're starting with 2 drone control units, 1, good thing for a Thanatos, a small tractor beam, 1, fine. Dread Greaser's large graviton smart bomb.
It's three drone control units.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, yes, so it is. Yes, yep. I'm hungover.
That's all right.
I'm taking that a lot. Mid slots, scan resolution script, cap booster 800, capacitor boosters. So his mid slots are basically entirely just cap boosters and sensor booster 2. Sensor booster 2 is, of course, fine. Low slot, thematic hardener 2, explosive hardener 2, capital size armor repairer, damage control 2, kinetic hardener 2, and another capital armor repairer. rigs are anti-explosive pump and EM pump ones, so there's 3 of them, and he's got a whole shed load of drones and stuff and fighters and things. So he's pretty well set up, and he's got about a squillion cap boosters in his hull.
I'm laughing because I know where you're gonna go with this.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. So that I mean, the mid slots aren't a great, you know, you don't, yeah, that's, you're not going to need that. But yeah, you know where I'm going to go here. Because this was killed by one ship. A stabber.
Of all things.
Owned by Anu Kelro from Atlas Alliance. I did look at this. I thought, no, that's got to be faked. But no, I have looked into this. This is a genuine kill. A stabber took down a Thanatos.
Like... usually when you get things like this and it's one ship, there's also like a whole bunch of NPCs or like a control tower on there, right? You're getting...
yeah.
There's something else happening, but how the hell?
I mean, this thing did 380k damage. How long was that bloody taking it?
Oh God, I'm looking at this now to see how many stabbers this guy has, like if he's lost any, and see what his fit usually is, just so.
But it's he's got 220 Vulcan autocannon 2s, which obviously the close range Minmata weapon. Mm-hmm. They sting, but they're not, you know, they're not like blasters or anything, so it's not, you know. But the thing is, it has to be AFK PK wearing, because, you know, it will take so long to do that. And he's got so many things on this ship which can just so easily drive off a stabber. You know, you've got to get in close to use this stabber. Smart bomb, you know, does the job. You've got plenty of drones in there, you know?
I'm just... Oh my God. I mean, really? Wouldn't the natural recharge of this guy's capacitor, ignoring the boosters as it is, actually handle?
They're not, exactly. I mean, if you're turning on all your hardeners and stuff,
yeah,
you know, you'll have a hell of a tank, but yeah, that will drain cap. But, you know, there's better things you can do with your mid-slots, put it that way. But
this has to be AFK. I mean, that's what I'm looking to see. Yeah, this guy was maybe like ECMing the living crap out of that guy, and just it took hours. I'm just sitting here thinking how this went down so fast.
It has to be AFK.
How did they not run into downtime while actually doing this?
Yes, exactly. No, this has to be AFK. That is the only explanation. Because even if he, you know, was a complete muppet, he could just unplug the computer. And, you know, even if it was, you know, it'd be aggroed, but it doesn't matter. You know, it just takes so long to kill him, it wouldn't be a problem.
Good Lord.
I know.
Pay the man. I think you've won that one.
Yeah, so, let's see, what's the cheapest here? Oh, this doesn't have prices on it.
That won't be hard for you to pick a cheap one out of there, I think.
Oh, I know. So I'll work it out, but I think probably, you know, scan resolution script, so that's going to be about 4K coming your way, if you're lucky. So thank you very much to Raven Coran. Send keel mails to either me, Urban Mongrel, that's MONGRAL, or to Mr. Winterblink. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we will be happy to check these out. And, yeah, back in business.
Indeed. And thank you to Dregak, however you say it, sorry if I butcher it, for sending in the Tech 3 one. I think these will actually add to some interesting discussions, just as we pick apart people's fits, just because there's a lot more to them than regular shifts, and sort of determining the background of it is, I think it'll be kind of interesting little exercise. So, yeah, thanks a lot for that, dude.
No, thank you, sir. Moving on, time for the discussion point, and yeah, well, you're the one who suggested this, so take it away.
All right, so for this week's discussion point, we'll probably talk about the latest blog here that just came out a few days ago, on Cosmos. Now, oddly enough, this is weird, because it shares a name with Initiative CCP used to have, with all those kind of constellation-based, you know, content. Yeah. Remember Cosmos back in the day that kind of went...
I remember it, yeah.
Relatively nowhere.
Yeah. All meant to be the best thing since light spread and nothing much happened.
Yeah, you know? Maybe before we get into this, I mean, that was kind of a neat concept to me, was the idea of looking at the individual constellations and kind of creating specific areas of content, like missions, NPCs and stuff like that, and just like little, if you will, quests, you know, and there's a whole storyline going on in there, because, I mean, why not? It makes sense, because you've got all these little areas that might have their own little regional politics and NPCs to deal with. And all those, like, ridiculously rare things you can get out of them, I mean, they're still there. You can do the missions and get the rare, you know, blueprints and stuff like that for them, but, I mean, it just kind of saddens me that they kind of didn't go anywhere with that. Did you ever try any Cosmos stuff back in the day?
Oh, yeah, I did some of the mission-y things. As I said, it was better than it was, because there was just so little content back in the early days, so anything was an improvement.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think it really was what they intended.
Right, which, yeah, I mean, I hope at some point they revisit that, but that's going to be a rap load of work.
Yeah, it's not the first time, though, CCP have reused a name which has completely confused everything, because you remember Trinity, which is a graphics engine, and also was the final upgrade. The one which broke Eve and deleted Bootini and broke Windows, and we got drunk on Brenowin.
Also, if you like Chicks in Latex, you know, girl from Matrix, Trinity.
I think everybody likes her.
Yeah.
Jumping across roofs.
Yeah, she was pretty nice. You know, running along walls. Yeah, it was good stuff. Matrix, first movie. Second and third were meh. Anyway.
What?
Second and third movies? God, those were not so great. Matrix? You know.
Yes, of course. Anyway, let's talk about Cosmos in the new incarnation.
I have a question, though. Third Matrix movie, right? I mean, come on. You're flooding the whole, like, human area, whatever, underground with, like, the whole Zion area with tons of machines, right? Those little squiddy guys, right? You got literally thousands of them. Why are they just flying around in formation? Why not just pile on to everything in sight that's moving that isn't another machine that, you know, has a human in it at least, right? Like, why are they just kind of, oh, look, we're flying in circles. Shoot us. We'll get to you in a second. Be right there.
We're just going to be a nice target for a while.
What was up with that? I mean, when you watch the movie now, you're like, why did they just kill everything in sight? I think
when it comes to, you know, sort of plotting problems, that's a fairly minor one for that film.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, yeah, ignoring the fact that they actually leave their protagonist for, like, 45 minutes of the movie. Anyway. Oh. So, Devblog, Cosmos, they got this new initiative called Cosmos, but I guess it's not new, it's been in around for a while, because obviously...
Yeah, they just ain't told us about it.
Well, they did back, I think, a long while back. It basically, they hinted at it, but they never told it that it was named Cosmos. But the idea here is to create, essentially, a community site for the game. So, well, it's basically would be part of probably EVEonline.com. But it's, I mean, they're kind of mentioning this as like, so what you're doing in game, so what corp you're in, what alliance you're in, yourself as a player, will have basically profile pages, essentially, on the main site, right? So the idea is then that, I mean, you could add things to it, I don't know, who knows what, they're kind of just, you know, floating some ideas on this thing, I guess but it comes with a lot of things. So there's a corporation alliance profiles, right? Profiles for your character, I guess you can go on there and say what you want to say about yourself as a character. So it's all through the website now, which is kind of cool, and presumably pulling in a lot of in-game data and externalizing that as you want to have on there. So show off your medals.
Coming to the really important one now.
Well, right? No, I'm getting there. But hold on. So obviously, I think, you know, it'll be a way for you guys to like show off your medals and talk about yourself. Maybe hopefully get past like what is it now? Like a 15 character limit in the bio?
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
And then just draw a little bit of ASCII art of a penis.
That's hi there. Hi there. My name is. It's like, oh, it doesn't save any more than that. But yippee-ki-yay! A new mail system. Thank fucking God. Oh my God. Please overhaul the in-game mail system as well to go with this. But I'm assuming that this lets us actually access our mail from the website, which would be, well, wicked, right? It would be nice.
Damn right.
And they also talk about a new contract system, so presumably also something that's also done through the website. And I can only imagine that a part of this whole thing will be API integration. Please. So then somebody, you know, could make, who knows, like a handheld Eve mail system really out of this pretty easily. It'll be awesome ideas, CCP, if you're listening. And like externalizing the contract system means that people who might not necessarily be able to log into the game can still keep an eye on things. So, you know, those, you know, types who are really into doing the buying and selling stuff on the market can do so from, I don't know, their BlackBerry or iPhone or whatever the hell they want to do, or just from the website. So at work. Distract yourself even more. So then a new contact system as well going into this whole thing. So, I mean, right now, address book is relatively useless. I mean, it basically just...
Address book, though, you don't fill it with your friends. You fill it with your enemies to find out if they're online.
Yeah, you know, Titan pilots are probably... probably the most popular person in EVE at this point. It's probably Titan Pilot, just because you can see when they're online, and they're probably going to be in the Titan, right?
Exactly.
So kind of cool to have that all kind of put in place. I assume, since they're making kind of a push for the social aspect of EVE, that this is going to be very Facebook-y. Like, in that it'll be friends you can add, remove, group up, however you want to do it. Which, not a bad idea. So they say this is an initial release, and as typical CCP, it'll probably be fairly basic to start, and then they'll build on it as they go over the course of the next decade. But that's okay. I mean, it's slow growth, which is better than fast and silly growth, which does all the wrong things. So, I mean, it's
The other thing is, just so long as the mail system stops being a pile of shite, I think we'll both be dancing jigs of joy, which will probably look quite messed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's especially in my case, because I dance about as well as I sing.
Oh, memories. Bad memories. But, I mean, okay, so what do you think of this? Is this basically Facebook EVE, in a way?
Yeah, but... Well, cut down Facebook. Although I'm sure you will be spamming everything the entire time. The thing is, it's a very, very vague dev blog, and, there's nothing much more in the comments section as well. So, we really need a bit more information.
Well, that's intentional, right? Because as is typical of the EVE community, if they say anything in here, even if they're just thinking it's an idea, someone will come back, like, 6 months later and be like, where is it? You said you were going to do it. Where is it? Hmm? They're going to be intentionally vague on their dev blogs. But, I mean, in terms of the overall concept, I think this is very similar to kind of... I can see it's going kind of how Sony did it with EverQuest 2, creating, like, over there, it's like, clan or guild pages, and having your players on there, seeing your stats, looking at your, in their case, just armor loadout, probably not here. Who knows, maybe you'll be able to show off your fittings. Who knows how they'll be able to, take that. I mean, why not? You're saving them in the game. Why not say, okay, well, I want to have this appear on my profile, so here's my awesome battleship fitting or whatever, right? Be interesting. I wonder if
it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some other things that would be really nice for them to integrate with this. I mean, I've already said about having it as a client on your iPod and stuff. I think it'd be also very useful if you could, for example, do like skill changes through this. Because, you're at work, they don't really let you put EVE on your work computers, but, And again, it's not as bad now the skill queue's in, but there are times when you've got, you miss the 24-hour limit, and you're not going to be going home for ages. And it's just like, being able to log in at lunchtime and change a skill would be such a really nice thing.
Yeah, I think though, I don't know. I'm always iffy on just letting people kind of manage a queue without actually getting into the damn game. I mean, how hard is it? No, it's not that I'm saying it's a bad idea, because we've all been in situations where we've had that happen. I have, and you have, and everybody has, where you can't log in. But I mean, honestly, seriously, if you miss a day of skill training, it's not going to be the end of your character.
No, but it is annoying, though, and it's just something nice to sort out. And people have holidays, so it's nice to be able to fix this sort of thing up.
But you have a queue.
I know, but you'd have more than 24-hour holidays, at least I do.
What are you, a noob character? I'm sure you got a level 4 skill that could just stick on training for level 5 and go on your holidays. That's what I do.
Suppose so. But
how hard is
that? I've been in that situation before, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, there's options now.
I'm never going to use it, but who cares?
Oh God. Well, tactical shield manipulation was mine. It took forever to get to 5. I was just like, it's my vacation skill.
It's a nice level 5, though.
Yeah, it's not bad. But anyway, in general, though, I think they can kind of go some interesting places with this. We'll have to see how it goes. I mean, if you look and see how they've done in other games, like I said, EverQuest 2 is an example. It's fairly successful. Lets you kind of dig around in, like, your guild or corp in our case, and sort of see what people are up to, just, from a social perspective. I don't know. It's kind of nice to have it. I think it's a neat feature set to have. I'd like to see, obviously, more information. But yeah, really, the way the web is nowadays, sky's the limit, really. So however they want to take this in the future in terms of little components they add into there to allow us to put onto Cosmos or Cosmos page, like what we're doing or whatever. Who knows? I mean, I think it's a good idea.
I wonder how much CCP capslock is involved in all this.
I have no idea.
Is it being all caps? Well, actually, it is in all caps, isn't it, Cosmos?
Well, of course.
So, yeah, I think it must be a thing.
But, I mean, other little things in the dev blog that came up, of course, was, the one major point which they kind of sort of hint at was, is, yes, we'll be tackling new forums for you. Which, yay. I mean, the forum, you know, forums are fairly antiquated by now, right? I mean, like, you look at any forum software out there, and it's got about 50 billion features that are, you know, above and beyond what we have on ours here at on the Eve website. So it'll be, I think it'll be good to have something a little bit more mature and more functional in there. But of course, you know, the sticky point there is, of course, people don't realize that there's a heavy tie-in to the back-end game data for the forums, right? For your character picks and your name and all that stuff. So yeah, it may take them a while, but hopefully they'll come up with something interesting.
Well, I mean, all you do is you take a backup at downtime, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't use it on the live Tranquility one. You just, you know, move it to another server, and, you know, things only update it, you know, at downtime. But, you know, that's not as big a deal, and I'm sure I'd put up with that if it meant that Tranquility wasn't going to be suffering.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway,
I mean, yeah. Probably my only concern...
I'm sure they've thought that well.
Yeah, no doubt.
Quite clever people, really.
Yeah, overall. No, they're awesome. But, I mean, I think probably my only concern with this whole initiative is that I can see them going places which will intrude upon territory which other people are taking on. Like, if they start adding blog components, there's already some pretty decent community efforts, I think we mentioned Podlogs last time, which provide players with the ability to do, you know, quick and dirty little blogs if they want to. That's free. Like, to have it official is cool, but, you know... Are they just kind of borrowing ideas at this point, or, like, you know, like, these are things that people are doing. Like, if you look at Avatars United, you know, it's another great little site out there that's for MMOs in general, but has a fairly prevalent EVE population in there, and it's basically like Facebook for MMO players. It's pretty awesome, actually, if people aren't on there. It's actually quite interesting, but you know, will they be basically intruding upon territory there as well? So, I don't know. That's my only concern there, is that they start to kind of encroach on that. But instead of embracing sort of the community efforts and highlighting them more to people, that's just my thing.
Yeah, I don't think that will happen, really. You know, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Cool.
Anyway, what else have you been playing? I tell you what I've got, actually, because I've got found this in a store going really cheap, and I haven't played it before. The Darkness.
I saw you on live playing that every once in a while. I've played it myself. What do you think?
It's not as bad as Yahtzee's review made out. Actually, it's quite good fun.
Kind of addictive.
What do you say? It is. I mean, some of the darkness powers are a bit useless, though, but the black hole one kind of makes up for it.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the... maybe it's a good idea, maybe just give a little synopsis for people, let them know what it's like there.
So, yeah, it's not a bad little game. What else have we been playing? Empire Total War quite a bit, and a bit of Forza as well. What have you been playing, sir?
Hold on, actually. I am just looking up something on your Xbox Live profile.
I haven't filled anything in there, so...
That has nothing to do with it. Hold on. Where are your achievements, mister? It's like, oh, okay, I see that you completely ignored your girlfriend in the game. Nice. Nice, Urban. Nice job.
What, I let her get killed?
No, but way to spoil stuff for people who are listening to the podcast. But there's that part that's pretty early on, actually, in the game. It's actually one of the neater parts of Darkness. It's bizarre because it's all, obviously, it's a first-person game, and how they wrote in all the little situational things, right? Like when you actually go visit your girlfriend at the beginning, right, and she asks you to stick around and watch television, you did not do that. You big meanie. You should have, because the television in the game is hilarious, because it has, like, there's, like, whole movies in there. Like, you can just sit there and, like, look at the television in the game, and it'll play, like, I forget how many movies there are in that game. There's a lot.
Yeah, but But do you have, like, is it, like, as funny as the stuff you got in GTA 4? The TV was, like, one of the best bits.
No, but all I'm saying is for this particular achievement, it's actually kind of weird that they have this in the game, and it weirded out a lot of people who played it, because she asked you to kind of, like, sit down and watch a movie with her, and you're like, oh, okay, so you do this, and it's literally, from the first-person perspective, you're sitting there watching a movie with this fake girlfriend, and she's, like, kind of, she's hanging on you and stuff. I mean, you're looking around, you can look down at her head and stuff like that, and yeah, there's a whole point in there where it's like, oh, she wants to have a kiss, so you can do that and get 10 points of achievement for that. You did not do that.
But no, didn't bother. But, you know, I like my character to act in a fairly consistent way to how I react in the real world.
Right.
So, right. Yes.
But yeah, no, it's a good game, actually, that one. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. So, but yeah, good. Good you liked it.
Nope. So what else have you been playing?
Where possible, I've been getting into Battlefield 1943. Tons of fun, that game. Downloadable content on Xbox and PS3. I have the Xbox Live version. And, oh my god, is that a fun game. It's basically 1942, but they added the, you know, the engine for Battlefield Bad Company to it, so a lot of destructible buildings and things like that. But very accessible, very fun. Doesn't matter even if you just jump in with a random group of people. It's just a blast. If you get a chance to check that out, it's actually really good. It's not too expensive either. So, give it a whirl.
Okay, cool. Anyway, homework assignment. Right, last week, what did you pick?
I picked Children of Men.
Oh, yes. So I ordered it. It's probably at my parents' place because I haven't set up the new addresses on things, so I haven't seen it yet.
Hmm. Well, let me know when you do.
Yes, okay, will do.
Excellent. Now that we're right. Past that.
Yeah. Okay, for homework assignment this week, I'm pretty sure you'd have seen this film, but it's a damn good one. 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Well, it's a sort of zombie film, isn't it? But it's not quite your usual zombies.
They're not really dead.
No, but they act like zombies quite a lot. And
well, they're
brains.
English.
Yeah, I'm acting like a zombie, you know. Yes, but they like to eat brains and stuff.
Yeah, they're English.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, God. Yeah, basically the plot is... a guy wakes up in hospital... Well, that's not the start of the plot. The start of the film is basically these monkeys are being experimented to make them, like, full of rage and anger and stuff for reasons, and some animal people come and set them free, and one of them gets bitten, and she turns into this, you know, zombie monster thing which attacks everybody, and everybody she kills gets infected. You've got, like, 30 seconds if somebody gets infected with this to kill the person, otherwise they will try and kill you. So, yeah.
And it's not just try and kill you, either. It's like, they come at you like a freaking freight train. Like, running, spitting, barfing up blood all over your face. And we go, God! I mean, it was like... And yeah, the craziest bit is how it's like, oh, you get infected, and like, literally 30 seconds later, you're charging after somebody else. So, like, the speed of the infection in that movie was just scary as hell.
Yeah. So what happens is 28 days after that, hence the title, a bicycle courier named Jim, who's played by Cillian Murphy, wakes up in this deserted hospital. And incidentally, that's Central Middlesex Hospital, ACAD. That's where I used to work.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's like, I know that stairs, I know that hospital. that was like my holiday job when I was at university and stuff.
I remember that zombie infection.
So they picked a nice new building. But the thing is, this is like meant to be an intensive care ward and stuff he's on, but it's actually just that bit of the hospital was just, you know, for day surgery, really minor cases, you know, so... Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, that's completely irrelevant. And he goes through this completely deserted London, and it was genuinely completely deserted because they filmed it all at 5 a.m. And he's going past, like, you know, the Houses of Parliament just with nothing, you know, and then no idea what's going on. And he picks up like this newspaper, and it just says Blair demands the evacuation of the capital and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he finds these huge piles of money around and all sorts of things like that. And then some of these zombie things try to kill him. And yeah, it keeps going from there. You meet some alive people, one of which dies, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is actually a very good movie. Did you know it's one of the first ones to actually be filmed with an HD camera?
I didn't know that, yeah. But now you come to mention it, yeah.
Yeah, because when you watch the movie, it's kind of odd, because you'll see, like, it doesn't look like a regular movie in the way that's presented on screen, and it's because, like, I mean, it's just, the way that HD cameras pick up light is totally different, right? So, anyway, it's got a very unique look to it, and it's actually pretty slick. But yeah, very awesome. Of course, it's a Danny Boyle movie, right? And we recommended Sunshine at one point as on our podcast, and this is like one of his not his first movie, but it's one of his first movies. Well, not like it's one of his more recent major efforts, I should say. But yeah,
it's a very very good film. Yeah, there's a sequel called 28 Weeks Later, which isn't as good, actually.
Really? Yeah, I don't know. I might have to disagree with that. I'm not going to say it's a different movie. Because obviously that one takes place, you know, 28 weeks later, so they're just trying to repopulate, you know, London. You know, sort of say, well, you know, basically the speed of the infection, they're all dying off so fast, so like, we might be able to do this. It's a little bit more of an action-y movie than the first one is. Like, there's a lot more guns and stuff going on, right? But I actually liked it. There was some. There's actually some really good actors in that one.
Oh yeah, Robert Carlyle's in it, who is a very, very excellent actor. But yeah, I didn't like it as much as I liked 28 Days Later. Very good actors in the first one, especially the major in the army, played by Christopher Eccleston. He's in the 28 Days Later film. I think he's an excellent actor as well.
Yeah, he is. Who is it? There's 20 Weeks Later, there's Harold Perrineau. He's an awesome guy from Lost, if you watch Lost at all. Rose Byrne's in that one as well. She's pretty. She is. She really is. There's also, what's the guy's name? Looking for it on Internet Movie Database. One of the dudes from The Wire, for those out there who watch The Wire, if you haven't seen The Wire, you're missing out in a huge way, but one of the main characters there is actually in this as well as the military commander in 20 Weeks Later. So it's an excellent movie. I liked it. Urban doesn't, but he has no taste.
No, I didn't say I disliked it, but I say it's not as good as 28 Days Later, in my opinion.
And they're different movies. I kind of think of a comparison of the two to almost be like apples to oranges in a way, because they are quite different, just in terms of the style and what they're trying to do. That's just me.
And the budget.
Yes, 28 Weeks Later has a massive budget compared to 28 Days. But what they did with that little budget in 28 Days is amazing. Like, they did a really good job on it. So yeah, no, good pick, man. I like that one.
Yeah, I thought you would, sir. Anyway, community news. Okay, first up, the Alliance Tournament teams have been picked and the groups have been sorted out. There's some interesting ones here. As usual, there's a load of people we've never heard of. But
well, it happens.
Yeah, Pod Liberation Authority? Who are they?
They are the guys in charge of liberating pods.
Alright. Beyond Virginity.
What? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
They have yet to progress beyond virginity, thus they look at it as some kind of awe-inspiring thing. Therefore, take on the name.
Well, yeah, considering we are hosted by Virgin Worlds, we shouldn't really criticize.
Touché.
Yes, we didn't think of the name. Brent picked it.
Right. Brent picked it. Urban found it. God knows how he was Googling for that, but...
Oh no! Actually, how we met Brent was he went and interviewed us for the Virgin Worlds podcast way back on the first ETV, and he interviewed all of us, but somehow they only got the ones with me, Ifni, and then Ziliana, presumably because we're like the most important people to talk to.
There you go.
That's how I met Brent. But anyway, here's another one: Scooty Puff Junior Alliance. In terms of the first round matches, which is Saturday 5th of September and Sunday 6th of September, there's some really good ones coming out. There's AAA versus IAC. So, yeah, a bit of a grudge match going on there.
Yeah, I'll say.
So that's pretty damn good. Looking forward to that. What else have we got? Cult of War versus General Tao's Alliance.
It's the TSO, General So.
General So.
What else is going on?
I can't read English, let alone any other languages.
Is there a Razor versus Goonswarm one? That'll be kind of an interesting one.
That's going to be a great one. That's actually after the break, though.
Mm.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's going to be quite a fun little match.
The Fives in there again. The Fives.
Always. Yeah. As in always. In T we trust.
Star Fraction versus Ronin. Hmm.
That's a good one, yeah.
That's a good
the
one.
Five versus the Kadashi. That's a good one.
Usher Khan versus Space Jerks. I'm interested if some of these new ones are just people who are just floating away from current alliance to take part in this, or how they're...
Quite possibly, yeah.
I mean, that's usually what happens. But that's interesting. Veritas Immortalis versus Hun Reloaded. Yeah, that'll be an interesting last match.
That's, I guess... Well, that's... I feel that's going to be Hun all the way, but, you know...
Yeah.
So yeah, it's looking good for the tournament. Matches start on the 5th of September and going 6th of September. These will be broadcast over Eve Voice with commentary, and it will also be on Eve Radio, and they'll put the videos up on YouTube afterwards. Have you seen it with the HD videos they put up on the matches? It looked really, really good.
Boy, they did a good job. The camera team was really on the ball this time as well.
Last time.
A bit, you know, like, in terms of they actually having, like, you know, like, when they first started doing this, camera team was good, but occasionally they, you know, not catch the action as nicely as they probably could have. But this time around, yeah, it looks like they're doing a pretty spot-on job for that. If they're getting the same group in from last time, oh wow, it'll be good. But yeah, those HD videos are really nice to watch. And I think there's a lot of people have been asking, you know, if they will get the videos up for the last tournaments as well, like the ones before last one, I should say. And yeah, this probably is a crap load of work, guys. So I would not hold your breath for that.
It'd be nice, but
it would be nice if they had a little video archive somewhere. YouTube might not be the best place for it, in my opinion, but I guess it's an easy way to host them. So hey, why not?
And free.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to this tournament coming up. So that's qualifying round 1, which is 5th and 6th of September. Qualifying round 2, which is 12th and 13th of September. And then you've got the finals, which is the 19th and 20th of September, just before FanFest. And that's going to be live with Eve TV as before. Mm-hmm. So it's the same sort of tournament strategy as the last one, which I thought worked out very well indeed.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, having to take Fridays off work, you know, so you could watch the Eve TV was a little bit annoying, so I'm very glad they've done it this way.
Definitely. And their tournament graphic this year is really nice. They've got all the Tech 3 stuff on there, and it looks pretty sweet. Damn that Proteus. I'm going to have to buy me one of those. Sexy looking ship, dude. No, all the Tech 3 stuff looks amazing. I don't know, I find Mimitar ones kind of still look like, you know, haulers, but isn't that kind of the case of all their stuff?
They actually, Mimitar stuff looks a lot less crap than it did before.
The newer stuff, yeah, but it's still kind of hauler.
You know, the Typhoon is an ugly, ugly, ugly ship.
yeah, that one's... I mean, capabilities aside, yeah, it's definitely kind of... Anyway, let's not... I guess we shouldn't hate
let's
on Mimitar
not
too much.
Yeah, so anyway, very much looking forward to this, so make sure you've got those weekends free. We will plan to do preview shows as before. Obviously we can't promise you anything because stuff happens, but we know we like doing, they're good fun.
Yep.
So yeah. Looking forward to the tournament as I always do.
Indeed. One that's kind of been on my radar for a little while, and I figured it's probably a good time to plug it as any, so to speak, is Plug It. It's kind of like Dig, except it's for Eve. It's an EVE Online bookmark site, plugit.org, and we'll link it up in our show notes. It's basically a way for if anyone wants to, you know, see how you can... I mean, it's basically like Dig. You put little plug boxes on your blog or whatever you want to do, and people can click it, and it kind of does what Dig does, except it plugs it on the plugit.org website. It's pretty slick. It's actually by the guy who did Podlogs. So this guy's been just going like crazy doing EVE community stuff.
Bit busy.
Yeah, he is. And this is actually kind of a neat site. So it's a neat way to kind of show off your content if you're creating EVE blogs or EVE whatever, news items or whatever you might be writing about, just stories, who knows. But it lets you actually go in and sort of, you know, elevate it in terms of community word escaping, brain not working.
Stuff.
There you go. So, but check it out. Again, it's another little Eddie Gordo app. And then, like I said, it's plugit.org. Neat site. I don't know. Have you looked at this? Are you looking at it now? Is that what you're doing?
No, you got to give me a link.
Plugit.org.
I'm lazy.
I said
I'm
it lazy. Four times already. You can't type it. All right, fine. I'll paste it for you. Lazy bastard. There you go.
Let's see if this one shuts down my computer.
Probably. If its content with zeros and ones in it, it doesn't work on Urban's computer.
I need an upgrade. But anyway, yeah.
Yes, you do. But yeah, cool little site. Check it out. And it's, I mean, you can go in there. It's got nice, it's all categorized. You can go in there if you're curious about a particular type of content that you think might be out there in EVE. You can go and look for it on there as well. It's kind of handy. So, nice place to sort of just, you know, nice little catalog of EVE bookmarks and the most popular ones. You can go and see what people are plugging. So check it out.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. Me next?
Sure, why not?
Right, up next, this is a friend of mine called DJ Apoc, who works for EVE Radio, and he's got a competition giving away two carriers coming up on the 31st of July. This isn't a scam, he is legitimate, he is genuinely part of EVE Radio, and he genuinely has the carriers. You can choose the faction of the characters, so may I suggest you get the Thanatos.
Hmm.
Yeah, if you win.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be done as a game of Assassin Squares, which he's got the rules for that there. Oh, yes. And while I give you the link here, Blinky.
Thanks.
Yep, so it's a game called Assassin Squares, and I say I can't be bothered to explain it now, and I'd probably do a bad job. But basically, you buy squares, and if stuff comes up on your square based on a dart being thrown at it or something, you win the carrier.
Huh.
So, yeah. Pretty damn good. I mean, carriers are not cheap ships.
No. No. That's interesting. I'm curious what mechanism they're going to do to pick the squares.
It's all there explained in the rules, but... Yeah, so have a read. But anyway, so yeah, if you want to get involved, contact DJ Apoc either online in game or contact him through the EVE Radio website, and yeah, have a go and good luck in winning a carrier. Okay, next on my list is there's a new EVE novel coming out. Have you seen this?
I have not seen the novel, but I do know of it.
Yeah, this one is not written by Tony. It's written, going to be written by Abraxas. Tony is apparently writing another one, which will be a sequel to The Imperium Age, I would imagine. But awesome. This one is written by Abraxas, who, if you know him from his you know, Methods of Torture theory series and his, you know, EVE Chronicles, it's going to be very, very dark, I would think.
Yeah, not for kids.
Yeah, so, I mean... Yeah, it's... Well, I don't really have too much more information. It's Burning Life.
There's not a lot of info out there. They just basically announced, I think, a release date so far, and there hasn't been a synopsis posted. But, yeah, I mean, again, if you're at all a fan of this little formerly known as Peak of the Weeks, the Chronicle stuff, I mean, it's... Yeah, this is... It's going to be good. It's going to be
good. Yeah, it's going to be out in November, so, you know... I mean, The Imperium Age was a thoroughly good read, and I have every feeling that this is also going to be a thoroughly good read, but it's going to be dark as hell. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have a copy of The Imperium Age right here. You hear me flicking the pages of that.
That could be your phone book.
It could be, but it isn't. So, So, anyway, we'll have to try and get more information when we have it and tell you about it.
Indeed.
Oh, and the very, very final thing is I just want to remind everybody, London Meet on the 1st of August, so that's next Saturday. Goodman's Field on Mansell Street in Aldgate in East London, very near the Tubes, very near the Tower of London, actually. So I've just given Blinky the link to that, and he'll put it in the show notes. There's 109 of us coming now, confirmed.
Wow.
Plus about another 23 maybes. So yeah, that should be pretty damn good.
That's a nice group of people. There must be a few people who play Eve in London then, I would imagine.
It certainly looks that way, or maybe we're just all travelling in for this.
Yeah, maybe. But
anyway, I hope to see as many of you London Eve players as possible there. I mean, I'll be the fat bloke with the goatee and the Cake is a Lie t-shirt.
Oh, God. Seriously, don't wear that in public.
Why?
It's called trying too hard.
Trying too hard to what?
I don't know. Go for geek cred. It's okay, man. Just wear something stylish.
Do you think I own anything stylish?
Well, you do have a pink sofa, so I guess
I don't own that, though. It's not my sofa.
It doesn't matter. Your ass has made contact with it. It's officially...
To be perfectly honest, if they were my sofas, I would certainly be buying some throws to put over them, you know? but
I don't know,
they're
man.
Not mine.
It's got a big thing for pink, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so... Put it this way, Blinky, would you prefer me not to wear a t-shirt like I did in the poster picture thing?
Well, I'm not going to be going to this because I don't live anywhere near London, so it's really up to the people who are attending whether or not you should wear a t-shirt. I mean, you could, by all means, show up with no t-shirt if you so desire.
Well, yes. Depends how hot it is. Well, anyway, your advice to me when I was going for job interviews was remember to wear clothes this time.
Yeah, and that works.
What do you think I do? Just walk into the interview, start bollock naked, going, yes, gentlemen, I'm a full-time nudist. I hope that won't present any problems.
And yet, after I told you to do that, you got the job. So...
Now, that was actually the job I turned down. So, yeah.
Still, yeah, wear clothes, dude. It usually helps.
The thing about, it, like, you know, these nudists is it's like amateur dramatics. The people who do it the most and are the most enthusiastic about it are actually the people who should do it the least.
This is true. Oh, God. Oh, why are we talking about nudists? Let's not talk about nudists.
So let's just end the show now, shall we?
Yes, before this goes down a very, very Abraxas-ish dark path, let's call it a day. And good show. We'll see you. Well, I guess you'll hear from all of us next week.
Yep, absolutely.
Sweet.
Fly safe.
Ish.
I do the ish this time.
Oh, me.
All right, you do it then.
I already did.
Do it again.
No. I'm hanging up.
Star Trekking across the universe.
On the Starship Enterprise, under Captain Kirk.
Star Trekking across the universe.
Only going forward, cause we can't find reverse.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, dear.
It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it. Not as we know it, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, it's Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow.
Star Trekking across the universe.
On the Starship Enterprise, under Captain Kirk.
Star Trekking across the universe.
life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it.
Captain. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, Jim.
Starship Captain James T. Kirk.
Ah, we come in peace. Shoot to kill, shoot to kill, shoot to kill. We come in peace. Shoot to kill, shoot to kill, ma'am.
It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow. Starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Scrape them off, Jim.
Star trekking across the universe.
On the Starship Enterprise under Captain Kirk.
Star trekking across the universe.
Only going forward and things are getting worse.
Laws of physics, Jim.
Oh, we come in peace, shoot to kill, shoot to kill, shoot to kill. We come in peace, shoot to kill, Scotty, beam me up.
It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim, dead, Jim. It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim, dead.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it, Captain.